it's always a joy to be able to share the Word of God. I think most of you, Pastor told you on Sunday, I was down visiting the grands, and of course, their parents, they count too, but the granddaughters are really where it's at. Had such a good time with them, but kind of this message came up in my heart because of something that Lindy is doing, our daughter-in-law. And I'd never seen anything like it. She's kind of a farmer girl at heart, country girl at heart, and she's always wanted to have a garden, like a real garden, and they don't really have space for it. So she ordered this thing. I forgot the name of it, but it's like a tower, and it comes with pods, and it's real tall, and she has 24 plants in there. She's only had it like 2 weeks, and we were getting all excited because just in the few days that I was there, the butter lettuce was like almost ready to be eaten. And I'm like, this is wild. This is really something. But it made me think about a garden. Now, you know, probably most of you in here, if you do have a garden, you have the old-fashioned kind. Not like that where you plug it in, the water's there, she gives it little nutrients. It's fascinating, really. But for most of us, growing up, either you had a real garden or you still have a garden. And I know growing up where I grew up, it was a challenge constantly to keep little critters out of the garden. They like to come in and eat all the food. And my dad, you know, he could put like a barbed wire fence around the garden, and that might keep out some of the big guys like coyotes or something, but it's not going to keep out little bunny rabbits. Little bunny rabbits like to crawl in there and nibble on the lettuce, and boy, if you had carrots, they were a goner, you know, eating the tops off of the carrots, all of that stuff. So you had to put chicken wire around the plants you really wanted to protect from the little critters, because they could get in any kind of gap. They'll sneak in there. And it reminded me of this. It's kind of the same way spiritually. We all have a garden, and it's called our heart. Our heart is the soil that receives the Word of God. And there are little critters that want to come in and get into your heart and mess up your harvest and eat your seed. And the Bible calls it the little foxes. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not just the big stuff that we're responsible to keep out. We know that we need to keep out things like, well, you know, we don't want to be a murderer. That wouldn't be good. I'm not going to let that in there. We don't want to be an adulterer. We don't want to be a thief. We don't want to be a big fat liar, all of that stuff. But what about gossip? Uh-oh. What about worry? What about fear? What about anxiety? What about strife? We might think those are little foxes, but you know, the Bible doesn't say, he doesn't classify sins as this is a great big bad sin, and this is just a little one, it doesn't matter. No, if we're letting anything in our hearts that's not in line with the Word of God, it's going to affect our harvest that's growing in our garden. Whose responsibility is it to watch over our garden, the soil of our hearts? Well, it really hasn't changed from the beginning of time when God put Adam in the garden. When he created man, he put him in the garden in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. This is the instruction that he gave to Adam and to Eve. Then God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. The word tend literally means to take care of it. The word keep here in the Hebrew, it means to guard and to protect. Now, Adam didn't have the tools that we have. He didn't have the name of Jesus. He didn't have the blood of the Lamb that we can plead, but he did have God-given authority to watch over, to guard, to protect, and to keep out all evil intruders. he had an assignment from God. He put him in charge of this beautiful garden. And of course, the enemy crossed the line. He didn't go after Adam. He went after Eve and lied to Eve and said, oh man, go ahead and eat. God just had one rule there. Don't eat of this one fruit. And of course, human nature, even though they weren't fallen yet, human nature. Somebody says you can't and you don't. What's the first thing they head for? Eve headed for that tree and disobeyed. And then, of course, you know, she must have been, she was probably really beautiful, I'm sure. God, the first woman that God created, she was just beautiful. Adam, I'm sure, was just mesmerized by her. And she's like, honey, take this apple. It's delicious. And he's like, anything you say. Sure, I'll eat it. And led him to be deceived as well. And once it happened then, he kind of turned on the woman when God said, why did you do this? Why didn't you keep that evil intruder out of this beautiful place? I told you you could. I told you you should. And what was his answer? God, it's the woman that you gave me. That is where the name blame started. In the beginning of time. It's their fault. They said this, so I said that. They did this, so I did that. All about they, instead of taking responsibility for I did wrong. And that's what Adam should have said. But of course, he didn't. We need, all of us need to not blame someone else, but we need to look in the mirror and say, I missed it. I repent. I'm going to do better. I'm going to rise up and use my authority. How many of you are going to use your authority to keep the enemy out of your garden, out of your life? He doesn't belong there. He's a trespasser. But we have to remind him that he is a defeated foe, and we're not listening to him, not going to take his lies, not going to buy in to these things that he tells us. And sometimes we feel inadequate. We might feel like, I'm no match for the devil. Let me remind you, this is not a physical battle that we are in. It has nothing to do with whether you can bench press 500 pounds or lift 25 weights or whatever. You know, I can't do any of the above. But it has nothing to do with our physical stature, has nothing to do with our natural age, but it has to do with who we are and who is on the inside of us. Y'all know that scripture over in 1 John, don't you? It says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How about this one? I can do all things through Christ who does what? He strengthens me. The Amplified says, who infuses me with inner strength. So listen, folks, we've got what it takes to keep out any evil intruders. We've got what it takes to live a victorious, overcoming life. Not in who we are, but in whose we are. I'm my beloved's and he is mine. Hallelujah. So let me just remind you, some of the weapons that we have, they're not natural weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, out of the Amplified. For though we walk and live in the flesh, we're not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are, everybody say, mighty. Mighty. Mighty before God for the, like this, overthrow and destructions of strongholds. Not carnal, not natural, but they are mighty. Glory be to God. So tonight we want to just look at some examples of people that use what God had given them, even in the Old Testament, and they were able to defeat the devil every time and put him on the run. Anybody interested in hearing about that? Well, let's look at this one guy, and you may not heard a lot about him, but you're going to hear about him tonight. He was mightily used of God because he took his authority. We want to pick up this story in 2 Samuel verse 23, and we'll begin at verse 9. I'm going to read out of the King James because I like how it reads here. And after him, let me just preface this by saying this whole chapter is talking about David's mighty men and how they over and over defeated the Philistines. They were strong in battle and God was on their side. So they kept whipping up on the Philistines. And one of David's mighty men is this guy right here. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Alohite or something, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose, so he's still there by himself, Eleazar, and he arose, he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. His hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. So think about this. You think you might have some odds stacked against you. Well, Eleazar had to introduce himself as, "I'm Eleazar, the son of Dodo." How would you like to have that as your legacy? But in spite of being the son of Dodo, he was one of David's mighty men. And he had fought and defeated the Philistines many times. In this particular occasion, he fought so hard and so long, the sword stuck to his hand. And so they had fled. And so him and the other people, they retreat. But one guy stayed behind in the fields. Not a glorious job, not a wonderful assignment. But let's see about this dude. Verse 11. And after him, that means after Eleazar and all the other people had left, Shammah, the son of Agi, the Herite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Let's catch the magnitude of this story. I see Irene over there. I remember when you were little, I preached this. You guys loved this about Shammah the pea picker. We're going to get there. Anyhow, all the mighty men had left. Shammah was the low man on the totem pole. He wasn't listed as any of the mighty men of David. He was left to literally guard the pea patch. Lentils were peas. And the Philistines, the people were afraid of the Philistines. They kept coming down after the mighty men left, and they were stealing their peas, probably chickpeas. And without chickpeas, there were no falafels, and there was no hummus. And that was a bad deal, especially in that day and that age. It was a big deal. So every time the Philistines would just come down, they'd take as many of the chickpeas as they want, and the Israelites that were there would run away and let them have it. But that day, that day, Shammah, who was the pea picker, not a mighty man, I like how it said, he stood up. That day, he decided enough is enough. You're not taking my dinner. I want a falafel tonight, and you're not going to steal my chickpeas. So that day, Shammah the pea picker became Shammah, defender of the peas. He became a superhero. hero. There's so much in the movies today about superheroes and powers and all of that stuff. You don't need to have your kids get all consumed with that. I mean, I don't care if they watch it or whatever, but find stories like this in the Bible and say, you want to hear about a real live hero? We got somebody who was just an ordinary guy. He was a farmer, but he got fed up with the enemy stealing his crops. So he went from picking the peas to defender of the peas that day. And let's see what happened. Because he stood up, God used him in a mighty way. We got heroes all throughout the Bible. What about David and Goliath? What about Samson? What about Moses? What about Elijah and the prophets of Baal? We hear about these guys. They stand out because everybody knows who they are, and they were leaders. But there's also in the Bible people that were ordinary folks living their life, planting their peas, who also had took a stand, and God used them. Don't you like how it says that? And God, he stood up, ran off the Philistines, glory to God. And how does it say it? And he slew the Philistines. He didn't just run them off. He had some kind of weapon. It could have been a shovel. It could have been a garden hole. I don't know. But God used him. And he used what he had in his hand. And he wrought a great victory that day. You want to derive some encouragement from that? I do. Because it doesn't matter how ordinary you may feel. It doesn't matter how you may feel unnoticed or unappreciated, or you don't have this and you don't have that. None of that matters. If you are a born again child of God, there's nothing ordinary about that. There's nothing normal about being a Bible believing, tongue talking, devil casting out child of God. Woo! Shammah stood up on the outside because something must have come over him. And he realized something on the inside started rising up. I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to put up with this. They're not stealing one more pea. I'm not going to allow it. Something came over him. Something rose up on the inside of him for him to stand up. On the outside, he first stood up on the inside. And that's where the power comes from. That's where the victory comes from. No weapon out here. We talked about that. Our weapons aren't carnal. They're not natural. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. But when you begin to realize who you are in Christ Jesus and the power and the authority that has been given to you, then when the enemy comes with his attacks and with his lies, you won't cow back in fear. You won't run from him. But when you begin to quote the word and you begin to resist him, he's the one that will run. He will run as in terror from a believer who will declare the word of God, and from a believer who doesn't mean thore, he's not speaking out of the mental realm, not speaking out of what I think and this and that, but right here, allowing the voice of your spirit to be the one that declares how it's gonna go. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. We have to take a stand, folks. We got to take a stand in the realm of the spirit. And we have to be like Shammah. And we have to say, enough is enough. You're not coming any further. We got to declare it. I'm a doer of the word of God. You can't have my family. You can't steal my health and my strength. You can't rob me of my finances. And if you are, you got standing ground on this. I'm a tither and I'm a giver. Now, if you are, you can't boldly declare this. But if you are, but if you are, you can declare Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Oh, God, I am a tither. I am a giver. And you, oh, Lord, you said you would rebuke the devourer on my behalf. That's called the tither's blessing. And it is the only place in the Bible that God said, I will rebuke the devourer. Everywhere else, he says, you do it, because he's given us authority in Jesus' name. But if when it comes to the enemy trying to rob your finances, trying to steal your job or whatever, anything related to finances, if you are a tither, you take the word of God and you begin to damasa broka. Enough is enough, devil. I have tither's rights. Ha ha. The enemy is rebuked, not just because I say so, but my Father says. He's on my side, and he's rebuking the devourer. You're not having one more pea. You're not having one more dollar. You're not stealing our finances through sickness and disease. You're not stealing our finances because of accidents. You're not stealing my finances through a loss of a job. No! Woo-hoo-hoo! Hallelujah. God is on my side. Woo! God is my source. God rebukes the devourer for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's give him some thanks. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And don't you know, he is faithful to watch over the seeds that we have sown. It's not just about finances. Many of you for years, you have sown prayer seeds. Prayer seeds for other people's loved ones. Prayer seeds for other people's children that may be backslidden. And God is just as faithful to watch over those prayers. And when you need a return, when you need a harvest, something going on with your kids, something going on with your family, those seeds that you've sown for other people's families, ones you know and you don't even know, they're coming. The harvest off of those seeds are coming unto you. Some of you, maybe you've been in a bad relationship and you were hurt and you were wounded. But you know what? When you start praying for other people that have been in hurtful relationships, you know what's going to happen? God's going to heal all those wounds and that hurt on the inside of you. He watches over every seed that we sow. Seeds of kindness. Seeds of love. These are all spiritual things to him, and they all will bring a return and a harvest into our lives. Amen. He's watching over it. I love how the Bible is full of farmer illustrations and parables. Jesus loves the farmers. Yay. I love that. So I want to look at one here in Mark chapter 4. We'll look at this. I think we'll look at this. We'll just read it. We got other things we want to get to. But the heading in my Bible says the parable of the growing seed. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29, I'm going to read it out of the New King James. And he said, the kingdom of God as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise up by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Wouldn't it be crazy? You'd think something was wrong with the farmer if he went out and he planted wheat, and the very next day he goes and he's like, this didn't work. There's no wheat out there. Starts crying and begging, and why won't you grow? No, he knows it is a process. God is the one that instituted the law of sowing and reaping. God is also the one that causes the seeds we plant, whether natural seeds or spiritual seeds, to germinate and to grow. Our part is we got to plant the seed. His part is to bring forth the harvest and to give the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7 in the NLT. There's so much more in that, but I just wanted to read that. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. You might be a planter. You might be a waterer. But whenever the harvest comes, all glory needs to go to God. I don't like it if people say, oh, you saved so and so. No, we didn't save anybody. Jesus saved them. And you know, lots of times when you go out and you might lead somebody to the Lord, they may come to church and receive Jesus. We're all rejoicing and we may be thinking, wow, Pastor Mark did such an awesome job today. Look at all those people that responded and got born again. And certainly he had his part. But we don't see behind the scenes. There may have been 10 or 12 people that recently were planting seeds into their lives. And Pastor Mark came along and watered. And God gave the increase. Amen. He always will cause a seed to bring forth. And you know what? There's different kinds of seeds. Germination is a process. Some processes, some seeds spring up quickly. The length of the growing time depends on the seed, the soil, the climate, the amount of water that they are needed. But all seeds go through this germination process. I want to just give you a little brief synopsis, I guess, of how this happens. All right. A seed in the germination process is basically waking up. I looked this up today. A dry seed planted into the ground and watered, the first thing it does, it absorbs the water. And that water causes the seed to soften and to swell. It's like if you ever put beans in a pot of water, what do? They swell. And once that happens, the enzymes inside the seed become active. Now, this is a part that I love. And an embryo root begins to spring out of that seed. I love this. The embryo root begins to grow. This wasn't me. I found this today online. Begins to grow upward toward the light. Upward toward the light, pushing through the soil. I love that. There's lots of growth in every kind of seed that is planted under the ground before you ever see anything. But every seed always grows toward the light. That's how God intended it. That's how God instituted it. Do you see the spiritual significance? It starts on the inside of that seed. And this root springs out, and then it starts reaching for the light. Amen. Our spiritual growth starts the same way. It's all on the inside before there's ever any fruit on the outside. But the more we press through that dirt and all that stuff that the weights that the devil tries to hold us back, the more we press through that, the more we keep walking in the light. Whew! the more we're going to grow. We're going to grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when it comes to harvesting seeds, harvesting the fruit off of seeds, the bigger the harvest, the longer the growing process. Different seeds come forth quicker. I shared this last week at Ladies' Prayer, but my parents, both of them, they liked radishes. I don't like radishes. They're teeny little seeds. I just don't like the way they taste. But you could just barely throw a radish on the top of the soil, barely cover it up, and that thing's going to spring up in 3 or 4 weeks, and you're going to have radishes. But when it comes to something else that I really love, like a potato, it takes time. Some potatoes take 3 to 4 months to produce. The planting is a lot harder than with a radish. You just do a little teeny thing. You could do it with your finger and sprinkle a little radish seed in there, and they'll find a way. They'll spring up. But for a potato, this is what you have to do. You got to dig a deep trench, at least 8 inches deep. Again, I looked this up. I didn't have it all from memory. You got to do the rows about 3 feet apart. You plant a potato, and you know what a potato seed is? It is a potato. It's got to have a little eye on it. You plant that eye up. You water them. In a little bit, you're going to have a little green plant. Then you're going to have a big plant. And when you see blooms on it, yay! You have potatoes. Potatoes don't grow above the ground, though. You never see them on a plant above the ground. All beneath the ground. 3 to 4 months before you have a potato. And the sign that something under the ground, a delicious potato, is ready to be harvested are blooms on the plant. I just think that's fascinating. God's law, His spiritual law, it shows up in so many places. It shows up in natural seeds. But I was thinking about that again. It brings encouragement to my heart. Regardless of what you may see or don't see right now, we sang about it. God is working. He is the way maker. The seed is producing. Harvest is on the way. Don't take your faith off of the line. And don't let the birds of prey, the birds of, what do they call it? Birds of prey come in to your field. Come in and start picking at the fruit before you're ready to harvest it. What does a farmer have to do? Well, I know in cornfields they always look stupid to me, but they do scarecrows. My dad would put some of his clothes on it and a hat and all of that, and I'm thinking, seriously? But it's trying to remind them somebody's watching. Don't you come in here and get this corn. Even if it's not real, they don't know that. Somebody is watching. Well, we don't have scarecrows to put in our heart, but we have things from the Word of God that we need to be keeping watch over that seed. Don't speak the wrong words over your seed. Don't say things like, it's taking too long. I don't think anything's ever going to happen. I know my son, you've given and you're like, I wish I could just get my money back. I shouldn't have sown that much. Now I can't go buy a burger or whatever. No. Or don't say things like this. Man, they're never going to change. I shouldn't have spent so much time praying for them. They're just not responding. No! Use a scarecrow in the realm of the spirit. What is that? Faith-filled words will run the devil out of your harvest, out of your garden. Speak faith-filled words. And just know this. Ha-ha. Harvest time is coming. Amen. Take a couple more scriptures. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 in the NLT. So let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. Here's the key. Everybody read that with me. If we don't give up. You can't give up. Did you enjoy my nephew last Wednesday night? If you weren't here, you need to go and watch that. Talking about on that road. He didn't give up. He wanted to so many times, but out of 70 some people, only 12 made it, and he was one of the 12. Why? He didn't give up. It's the same principle in everything in the kingdom of God. God is not into instant. I wish he were, but it's not like he's a drive up and we drive up and say, give me this and give me that. No, we have to be contenders and we have to persist in using our faith and standing. Having done all to stand, what are we supposed to do? We can sit down now? No. Having done all to stand, stand. Keep on standing. Woo! Hallelujah! And you're going to get it. You're going to get the desired end result. You're going to reap the harvest. That same verse in the Passion, Galatians 6:9. And don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Woo! It's on the way. Harvest time is on the way. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody stand up. Thank you, Lord. Harvest time is here. So what are you expecting? What are you doing in the meantime? You planted the seed, but you may not see the harvest yet. It's not time to give up, but it is time to go ahead and rejoice. That's what we're supposed to do. When you are in expectation, when you are in anticipation of something good, ha 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 ha, woo, you go ahead and you rejoice. Ha ha. Before you see it in the natural, oh my my, ha ha. Go ahead and to begin to ha 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 ha. And to basso bro, oh, I know it's mine, I know it's mine, I know it's mine, I have it now. Go ahead, lift your hands, let's just rejoice a bit. It's my, I have it now. Woo, hallelujah. It's mine. I have it now. It shall all come to pass. And those things, and some of you, you have bakrishota. Oh, you've been doing the right thing. You've been standing on the word. You've been praying. You've been believing me, says the Lord. But the missing ingredient for some of you is this: thanksgiving. We offer our request with praise and thanksgiving. So we deepasha, you need to begin to act like you already have that thing you're believing for. You be nenema sopra. You be nenesecha. Begin to see that child, that adult child, see them sitting next to you at church. Begin to see those bills paid. Take them out. Put them on the table and begin to laugh at them. Ha ha ha. I call you paid. Ha 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 ha. Take your car payment. Take your house payment. Whatever it is, look at it and laugh. Ha, 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 ha. The harvest is paid in full. That's the harvest off of that. If you're sowing the right seeds, glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's It's mine. It's mine. I have it now. It's mine. Ha, 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 ha. It is harvest time. Hallelujah. Now I got to read you one of my favorite scriptures. It's Psalms 126. Yes. Out of the Message. They changed a couple of the words, but I still like it. It seemed like a dream, too good to be true. When God returned Zion's exile, we laughed, we sang, we couldn't believe our good fortune. We were the talk of the nations. And this is what people are going to say about you and about this church. God has been wonderful to them. Woo-hoo-hoo! Evidence. It's starting in here. We see it in here. We see debt freedom in here. We see complete healing in here. We see the vision fulfilled in here. But soon, and very soon, they out there are going to see it, and they're going to step back and go, woo, God has been wonderful to them. And we're going to say, yes, God has been wonderful to us. And then listen to this. We are one happy people. I wish I had somebody happy with me. And then listen. And now God do it again. You, some of you might say, well, I'm not in a happy place. I'm not in a harvest place. I'm in a down place. I'm in a drought place. Well, listen to this. God, do it again. Bring rain. Bring rain. To our drought-stricken lives. So those who planted crops in despair, oh, I like this, will shout, hurrah! Some of you have been planting things with tears streaming down your face. Planting prayers for people that are not walking with the Lord. Planting different kinds of prayers. Dear Lord, I'm doing this by faith. I believe your word. Tears streaming down your face. But now, he said, those who planted their crops in despair are going to shout. On 1, 2, 3, let's all do it. 1, 2, 3, hurrah! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Hurrah at the harvest. Now this is another. This is an action sermon here, right here. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing. Put out your arms. We're shouting hurrah at the harvest, and now we're coming home with arm loads of blessings. Woo-hoo-hoo! So heavy we can't carry it. Woo-hoo-hoo! Hurrah! 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 It's harvest time. Hurrah! It's harvest time. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Arm loads of blessings. Arm loads of blessings. Arm loads. Oh, take another load. You can just put that one over on your couch at home. Now just take another load. Arm loads of blessings. More than one. It said arm loads. Not just one time. Arm loads of blessings. Arm loads. Arm loads. Oh, we receive it. We see it. We see it. More. Ha, 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 ha. miracles. Where Woo! Where the Israelites, they defeated all those armies. And the armies, God brought confusion. They killed each other and they ran from their tents. And when the Israelites showed up, it said, they were 3 days carrying the spoil. And what else did it say? More than they could carry away.